Broken Treaties, Proposal for a 1-hour TV Documentary, The Scots Irish and the Restoration of Culture and Hope Among First Nations in Manitoba, Canada. In essence, this documentary expresses how we, the Scots Irish, mistreated and abused the Native people of North America, and how they, in turn, after many decades of this degradation, found their culture validated by Israeli Jews of all people. And as we also seek to right the wrongs done in our name, the response has been quite amazing. Today, among Native Americans, the rates of disease, alcoholism, and suicide are higher than in many third world countries. Yet only a handful of people on this side of the Atlantic are even aware of the legacy of pain and social deprivation left by those who left these shores. Hidden from history for centuries, this is a story that now demands to be told. Raymond McCulloch was editor of Irish magazine Bread for 6 years and has for many years been involved in reconciliation between Protestant and Roman Catholic in Ireland. However, until the visit of a group of Native Americans to Belfast in 2004, he, like most people here, was completely unaware of any need for reconciliation between ourselves and the First Nations in North America. A couple of hundred years ago, many Presbyterians and Roman Catholics left the shores of Ireland and Scotland because, under English rule, they were not free to practice their own faith. Presbyterians were mockingly referred to as blackmouths. Their worship services had to be held in secret in the hedges. Roman Catholics, likewise, had to visit a mass rock out in the fields. Their priests were hunted with a bounty on their heads. So we set sail for the New World and the promise of freedom of religion. Many of these people became the founders of modern-day Canadian culture. Freedom, that is, for us, the new white settlers, but not, apparently, for the indigenous people of North America. These were people who had already been living there for 4,000 years. We describe these First Nations as savages and pagans, their worship as devil worship, and their culture as backward and depraved. We made them all kinds of promises and signed solemn treaties, but we then proceeded to break every one of them. They welcomed us and agreed to share their land, but we stole all the best land and forced them into reserves on the poorest and remotest parts. To this day, only 3% of First Nation people have ever responded to the white man's religion, and the people who carried out much of this policy had surnames that could easily be those of your Ulster neighbours. The Mounties rounded up Native children, cut off their hair, and placed them in church-run residential school system. This was a way of providing a civilizing education on the cheap, but it resulted in widespread indoctrination, abuse, and the deaths of 50,000 children. That's 40 to 50% death rate. To this day, neither the Canadian government, Department of Indian Affairs, nor the main denominations, nor the Royal Canadian Mounted Police have been willing to reveal where the bodies of those children are buried. In February 2004, Grand Chief Linda Prince came to Belfast with the 120 drums of thunder. 80 First Nation Americans performed their native dances and shared their culture. They explained that they had come to bless the Celtic peoples. We, who in the past had definitely not been a blessing to them. Imagine their surprise then that they, perceived at home as dirty, drunken Indians, should be so enthusiastically welcomed. This happened not only in Ireland, but also in Israel. In 1999, Linda led a group to Israel. In Jerusalem, Orthodox Jews arrived in tears when they heard the drum group singing one of their native honor songs. The Jews explained that the Native Americans were singing in ancient Hebrew and their song was directed to the God of Israel. Yet back home in Canada, they had been taught that the Creator had made a mistake in creating them and that he had sent the churches to correct this mistake, along with beatings and abuse. This is the story of a journey, both literally and in terms of growing understanding, of Raymond's first encounter with these hurting people in his hometown of Bangor, in Belfast, and later in Manitoba, and of his return to Canada with his two daughters in order to continue that healing process. While in Belfast, members of the drum group invited Raymond and his daughter Kelly to come and visit them. This they did, arriving in Puckettawagon, a reserve in northern Manitoba, at the end of May 2004. Raymond was interviewed on local radio and apologised for the wrong things taught and carried out by our Celtic ancestors. This brought a very positive response from the presenter and from many who heard the broadcast. Since Raymond's visit, significant changes have been taking place in the lives of that community. Commentary is shared with Raymond's younger daughter, Connery, visiting there for the first time. She reports on the historical background to this story, exposing the legacy of the residential school system and the government's assimilation policy, the native gangs in Winnipeg, high rates of alcohol abuse and youth suicide, to the background of the 8-hour journey north to Puck on the Silver Bullet. This is the 15 miles an hour maximum train, which travels the 130 miles from the Pas through uninhabitable Muskeg Swamp to the reserve. Recently, Native Americans have decided to reclaim the traditions which have been stolen from them. Mike Spence, a Native historian and former gang member, describes the devastating effect the government's assimilation policy has had on Native culture. Louis Daniels, a 71-year-old elder and speaker on Native ways, describes his near-death encounter in 2001 and his experience as a residential school victim. In spite of the abuse, he is able to declare, "But I have forgiven those people." A group of five chiefs of Native communities in Manitoba were made extremely welcome in Israel in August 2005. This has culminated in plans now for a First Nations embassy in Jerusalem. The chief of Pukutawagan talks to Raymond about his own change of heart, the needs of the community, and the reasons behind the First Nations' strong affinity with Israel. Young people share how significant the restoring of their native culture is to them and how their lives have been affected as a result. A youth worker describes her childhood in Puck during the 70s, when bullets were flying freely, the setting up of the first youth conference in 2001, and establishment of a youth drop-in centre. Since then, the previously high rate of suicide among young men, previously an average of one per month, appears to have ceased. We hope to end the documentary with footage from modern-day Quebec, where both the federal Canadian government and the Sûreté du Québec, the local police, have been attacking peaceful protesters, protesting the fact that the government have not honoured their written agreements, attacking them with riot gear, batons, tear gas and pepper spray, and injuring some of the weaker participants. So unfortunately, our habit of breaking treaties continues to this day.